You know, we're thankful and blessed to be able to know that one of these days we will all meet on the other shore in the sweet by and by. And when God gets ready to call us home, then we will be there and we will await the resurrection and the coming of others as well. We're so thankful and grateful tonight for the presence of all of you, and I hope that all of you will want to stay for the sandwich supper that will follow this service. And not only that, but we'll have an opportunity to recognize our youth and present awards that they earned from the recent Lads Leaders Convention up in Dallas. They did a great job, and we appreciate our young people so much. And what a wonderful way for us to stay tonight and to show them our support. Someone said that life is better with friends, and it's true, isn't it? Some of the greatest gifts you'll ever have in life is not something that is material. It may not be money, it may not be a gift, and you know, our secret sister is doing a great job back there by presenting a lot of gifts to one another. But the thing that really is important about that program is to be able to meet one another and love one another and develop a friendly relationship with each other. How many real friends do you have tonight? Let me just ask you that question. Now, I'm not talking about acquaintances. There is a tremendous difference between someone who is acquainted with you, or you are acquainted with them, or you heard their name somewhere along the way. And I've heard people talk about how many people they knew and that they were friends, but they never met them, but they were friends. Well, they're acquaintances. They're not really friends. The word friend is a word that occurs in the Bible a lot. And the Bible talks about those who are acquainted with different people, but it also talks about those that really are friends one to another. Someone said that friends are the flowers that make life beautiful, and so it is in life, the great gift of friendship. We should love one another. We should love our friends, so Jesus said. And friends are the angels that lift us to our feet when our wings have trouble remembering how to fly. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that you have friends? I appreciate all of my friends. I have a lot of friends, not only in the church here, but in the city of Palestine and all over the state of Texas, where I have been to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus. We all have what we call best friends. Jesus had a circle of friends. He had the apostles, but then he had the inner circle, who was Peter, James, and John. And then he had John, who was the one of whom the Bible says Jesus loved. And best friends are those who know how crazy you are, but they still choose to be with you in public. Maybe some of you have people like that. I don't know. A true friend is not someone we have chosen for ourselves, but rather someone God has placed in our life for special purposes, and we understand that. And Proverbs 18:24 says that a man who has friends must show himself friendly, for there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now consider that. You know, and I know a lot of people say, well, I wish I had more friends. You know what? Go out and make friends. I think Abraham Lincoln once said, I don't like that man. I need to make him my friend. And I think a lot of times in life, maybe the reason we don't have friends is because we don't endeavor to make friends. You know what? Everywhere Jesus went, he made friends. Everywhere. And if you would stop and think tonight, all these people represent the friends in your life. But if you were to stop and ponder for a moment, how many real friends do you have? A true friend is actually defined as the first person who comes in when the rest of the world has gone out. In the cookie of life, friends are the chocolate chips. And they are. Truly great friends are hard to find. They are. And difficult to leave. and an imposing situation. I'm thankful for all of those who are friends of this congregation. By the way, we have a number of people tonight that are guests in our audience. I hope we'll take the time to meet them. And understand that true friendship isn't about being there when it is convenient. It really is about being there when it is not. You know, sometimes we talk about people that are fair-weathered friends. That means that they'll be a friend to you at certain times, but on different occasions they won't be. But friendship, if it really is friendship, not just acquaintance, it is a gift of God, and we should be able to thank our friends every day. We should value a friend who, for you, finds time on his calendar. You know, I know, and I've told you this before, but I know in this congregation people that I can call on. You just know that through the years. Wyatt's the same way. Dale's the same way. We know those that you can call on in a moment's notice, and they will be by your side. They will, because they are true friends. A friend for you does not even consult his calendar. He doesn't. Oh, there are a lot of fake friends out there. There are a lot of people that will shake your hand, slap your back, and call you their friend, but are you really their friend? Proverbs 14:20 says, "The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends." You ever notice that, how people want to suck up to the rich or to the prominent? They do. Jesus didn't go there. That wasn't his ministry. His ministry was to the disenfranchised. His ministry was to people who hurt. His ministry was to the downtrodden. His ministry was to the poor. For a false friend is like your shadow. As long as there is sunshine, he sticks close by. But in the minute that you step into the shade, he will disappear. That's life, isn't it? Listen to what I said here in Proverbs 19. Wealth makes many friends. It does, doesn't it? But the poor is separated from his friend. Many entreat the favor of nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. When I think about false friendship, there are a number of things that come to my mind. There are people that are so consumed with external qualities, they don't have time to be a friend. And they seek and befriend wealth. They do. They seek to befriend power. And they seek to befriend popularity. As long as you are popular, I'll be your friend. And when wealth and power and the gift vanishes and goes away, you're not useful anymore, and the friendship fades. That's what I call fake friends, and there's so many of them in the world. But true friendship is found in a blessing and should be cherished. It is genuine care and concern, not fake, not fraudulent, not betrayed. It is maintained in trust. Genuine friendship is not based on one's prosperity, but too oftentimes in our world today, that's the way it is. For the poor man is hated, as I said, but the rich, while they're often befriended by everybody, wants to be their friend. But in Job, the 19th chapter, verse 14 through 20, notice what Job says, "My relatives have failed and my close friends have forgotten me." You know, we often talk about the friends of Job, and you go back and read their names. And one thing you'll recognize about them, they were kind of fair-weathered friends. They went to see Job when he was going through all of his problems in life. And they trusted Job for about a week, but then after that they began to distrust, and they began to think in their mind, Job, and they even said to him, Job, what have you done that would cause God to bring the wrath down upon you and your family? Notice what he says, my relatives have failed and my close friends have forgotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I call my servant, but he gives no answer. I beg him with my mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife, and I am repulsive to the children of my own body. Is that the kind of friend you want? Not me. Even young children, he says, despise me. I arise and they speak against me, and all my close friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me. My bone clings to my skin and to my flesh, and I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. Job was in the throes of depression. You know, there are three marks of true friendship, and I want to share those with you tonight briefly. Few friendships sail on these things. Number one is loyalty. You know, our president keeps saying that, doesn't he? I want people in my administration to be loyal to me. Now, what that means is that you're committed to him. True friendship is constant, enduring. It is loyal and it is determinate. And in Psalms, the 15th chapter and verse 3, King David wrote and said, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. His friend is genuine, and a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in times of problems or in times of need. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. When I think of the word friends, I like the little acrostic. They fight for you. They respect you. They include you. They encourage you. They need you. They deserve you. And they stand by you. Sometimes in life, when you're going through problems or issues, fair-weathered friends are the people that flee as fast as they can. They get away from you. In the dark times, good friends show you the light. But true friends take your hand and walk by your side when you are in the dark. What about your friends? You ever stop to really analyze the people that you call your friends? Fake friends are around when they think you're cool. But true friends are around when they think you are a fool. Proverbs 27:10 says, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. You know, through the years, I have maintained friendship with several of my father's friends. Many of them have gone on to be with the Lord. But I have maintained a relationship with them. One reason, because God says to do so. Not just for your sake, but for theirs as well. Be loyal. But number two, real friends, they keep your confidence. That is, when you say something to those friends, they don't get out and repeat it. They don't get out and tell every Tom, Dick, and Harry about the things that you had to say. And some things need to remain confidential. Sometimes people think, well, preachers are not as transparent as they ought to be. They don't get out and talk about all these things. You know why? Because what happens is when I tell you, you tell someone else, and they tell someone else, and before you know it, it doesn't even resemble the story at all. If you have a friend, make sure that you keep their confidence. A friend does not repeat news that was privately confided in him. Gossip and backbiters are not good friends. They're not. And sometimes in the church, there are those people that pride themselves in being the gossipers in the church. I've had people say, well, you know, if you want to find out what's really going on, go call Sister So-and-so or go call Brother So-and-so and they'll tell you what's going on. Listen to Proverbs 16, verse 28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. I have learned when people talk to you, it won't be long until they talk about you. So you make sure that you're one who holds in confidence what they have left with you. In Proverbs 17 and verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. That's what I'm talking about tonight, brethren. We have to be careful what we say to people, lest they betray us. And then thirdly, friends don't just judge us and criticize their friends. You know, someone said that probably America's favorite pastime is murmuring, complaining, and criticizing. And I think a lot of times that is the case. But friends don't judge you. They don't criticize you. They search for the good in you. Real friends, now acquaintances, well, you know what? They may seek to criticize you up and down. But a real friend always searches for the good in your life. And to escape criticism, someone said, do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. Don't mind criticism if it is untrue, disregarded. And we've all been criticized. We've all, no doubt, been the victim of gossip. And if it is unfair, keep from irritation. If it is ignorant, smile. If it is justified, learn from it. For faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And no one knew that better than Jesus Christ our Lord. When he was in that garden of betrayal and Judas came up, hated our Lord, made a covenant with other people for 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus, and Judas comes over and kisses him on the cheek. It was really a kiss of betrayal. In Proverbs 27 and verse 9, Solomon said, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Consider that. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Sometimes people are so destructive with their criticism of other people. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to say something that is true and you're trying to avoid the dangers of whatever it may be. But just to maliciously destroy people, and that's what you do, you get out and you run them down, and sometimes people are so destructive with their criticism. Have you anybody in here perfect? Anybody? I don't know if you remember me telling you the story about I was preaching in a gospel meeting one time, and anyway, I asked the congregation, I was preaching on perfection, and I said, do any of you think that you are perfect? And nobody stood up. I said, if you're perfect, just stand up right where you are. And nobody stood up. I said, I'm going to give you one more chance. If you think you are perfect, just stand up right where you are. And about that time, there was a little old gentleman that stood up, and I looked at him, and I said, sir, do you really think you're perfect? And he said, no, sir. He said, I was standing up in defense of my wife's first husband. Destructive criticism has the purpose of destroying its target. We know what we do. And we know the end result of it. So we have to stop destructive criticism and start choosing your friends very carefully. For sometimes your circle decreases in size, but it increases in value. In value. Proverbs 12 and 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And if you are righteous, you will be selective in who you choose to be your friend. Become a companion of those who love God, who fear the Lord, who respect him. Psalms 119:63, David said, I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. I determined many years ago, I'm not going to have friends that are going to lead me to hell. But I want friends that are going to help me get into heaven. That's what I want. And that should be the feeling of all of us. To surround ourselves only with people who are going to lift you higher and higher. For life is already filled with those who want to bring you down. It is so true. Your circle of friends must match your own aspiration and your dreams, or you will find little support when you need it the most. Spend time with Christians. Think about that one tonight. Who do you spend more time with, Christians or non-Christians? And I'm not negating the fact that we ought to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and we can justify just about anything we do if we want to. But how much time do you really spend with those that are going to lift you up and help you develop and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ? 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Refuse to be around the wicked. Proverbs 24 says, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Chapter 4 and verse 14. And evil company will shame a father. Proverbs 28 and verse 7. And it will corrupt your good habits. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says something about good morals. We're to shun the very appearance of evil. And the evil companionship will corrupt your good manners, if you're reading in the King James Version or the American Standard Version, your morals. And make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Proverbs 22. Where you spend your time walking, and that's the reason I ask you that question, where you spend your time walking is what you can become. And David said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. And last of all, what is the value of having a true friend? Well, we probably could say a lot of things, but probably Solomon would say it even better. When he said, two are better than one, because they have a good reward of their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe unto him that is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. And again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? I tell Audrey that passage all the time. The one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I'll tell people all the time, you know, when people marry, there are three that are involved in that marriage. The groom, the bride, and God Almighty. And when you leave God out, expect problems. Friendship with the King of Kings, who is Jesus, is what we all ought to desire. but it is denied if we are friends with the world. For do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself, listen to this, an enemy of God. The world says you have plenty of time to be friends with Jesus. That's the devil speaking, isn't it? He says, go for all the gusto in life that you really want. He says, don't go to church when you're young. I'm thankful to God that we are teaching our young people and imbibing them with the truth of God's word. They say, that is the world, fill your life with things. Things. Eat, drink, and be merry. That was the philosophy of the fool that Jesus talked about in the book of Luke, chapter 12. They say, don't be baptized. And to be baptized to become a Christian is a foolish thing. It is not a foolish thing. It is what God Himself says. And tonight I ask you, who is your friend? People will let you down. But God will lift you up. Whose voice do you listen to? If anyone comes to me and does not have less love for his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now those are the words of Jesus of Nazareth. And he also says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. One last question, are you a friend of Jesus? Are you a friend of Him? Sometimes people say life always offers a second chance and is called tomorrow. That's not always true. You could die tonight banking on another day of life to become a child of God. But what if you were to die tonight? What if God were to seal your fate, draw your last breath, and allow your heart to beat for the last time? We'd all like to think that it was true, that tomorrow will always be there for us. But that's just not true at all. And every one of us need to get back into Facebook and get off Facebook necessarily. Jesus wants to put you in His book. He wants you to be His friend. Are you willing to accept Him tonight? Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I say. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, you're not a friend of Jesus. You're not. Now, that's pretty blunt, but it's true. If you are a Christian and you're neglectful and you're not honoring God, you're not a friend of Jesus. Why not change that tonight while we stand and as we sing?